Thank you very much, and I have enjoyed it. And I hope the Employment Council Committee, I think you got some good stuff for it, and I trust that it will continue. Thank you very much.
Next. Next item on the agenda is organizational meeting. First item is the Public Works Committee. Raven, are you going to handle that?
Better? Sorry.
Yes.
You want me to start over? So as a part of your organizational meeting, I'd like to suggest a Public Works Committee to be formed. It's something that I've had in my past that's advisory to Public Works as well as to the council in things that we bring forward, some of the things coming up, like the six-year transportation improvement plan, the comp plans for the water and electric utility that are planned for this year, the long-term funding mechanism for our streets, things like that. And I would like to, again, make that a suggestion to maybe have a council member or two, and also to maybe have a few folks from the community to participate. So I just wanted to put that forward for discussion, and Public Works is available if you have any questions.
Questions from the council? How many people do you anticipate being on this committee?
Generally, you know, you don't want too many hands in the fire, but I'm, like I said, thinking of, you know, maybe two community members and a council member or two, and then on the Public Works side, it would depend on the topic. Some of the topics will include finance. Some of the topics might include planning. Our assistant director would be also participating, so I guess that makes it about somewhere between 5 and 7 people, depending on the topic.
Would we write this into our quotes?
What I would do, if it is something that sounds interesting to you, is I would come back, similar to what we did with the finance committee, I will come back in a future meeting with a resolution.
Personally, I think it's a good idea. You know, some of the public works we're going to come up in the future will require participation from the public. And I think it would be wise if we could find the right individuals to advise us as to how to approach things and to offer suggestions on what needs to be done. And I think it's a great idea. I think the more public we can involve in these matters, the better. So I would strongly suggest that we proceed with that. Any other thing on the council?
Agreed.
Honey, do you think that's
I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
Yes, I think it's a great opportunity for the public and the council to learn more about public works and be involved in workers' waste and experience.
Paul? Okay, let's proceed.
Thank you, sir.
Next item is the Blaine Arts Committee.
So we've been talking about some solution to public art in the right-of-ways. So as you drive around town and visit different places, you'll see public art that over time has been placed in different locations. Some of it's private, some of it's public. Sometimes art is appropriate for location, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not because it's dangerous art. It's got sharp edges and got points and all kinds of things that people can catch themselves on. So we've talked about having some kind of a process to help kind of just get those opportunities out so they're in the right location at the right time. We talked about whether it should be something on its own, stand on its own committee, and whether it should be part of the council or not. And I have talked with Debbie Hargrove, I think has talked to Councilmember Lawrenson. It might make sense to just include it in the BTAC. And the BTAC then put together a subcommittee of individuals on the BTAC would like to participate, and then have a member or two of the public, art public in particular, those are artists out there who want to participate. So when a piece of art comes in and it's for the city to use in its inventory of art, at least there's a process to vet where it should go. Is it appropriate? Are there any needs that need to go forward to help secure it or take care of it? Is there any maintenance requirements? At least there's a process, and it's not completely staff-driven. There's always, kind of a problem when we're making decisions that really needs more public input than what we provide often. So I think Debbie talked with Councilor Lawrenson and has kind of, I think, said that you were supportive of that concept. So that's what we would recommend, and I can let you speak more about that if you like.
Yes, all that's true. I believe a subcommittee of the BTAC would be an excellent way to handle it. We're started anyway. We have a meeting tomorrow morning, so we'll discuss that with the committee.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to put it in the tourism because it really is intended to attract tourists. And so, Steve, if Steve can report back as to whether you set up a subcommittee and how you'll have people won't be on it, we'd appreciate it. The next item is the Citizens Transportation Advisory Group.
This might sound a little bit like a repeat, but the Citizens Transportation Advisory Group is actually through the Council of Governments, and they are looking for a community representative from Blaine. So I wanted to put that to you. A few names came to mind, but I didn't know how best to filter that. If you had a recommendation for someone who you think might be interested, we would pass it on to the Council of Governments.
Council have any recommendations of people that would like to participate on that? It's a very effective committee. People that are on it, there have been members that have been on it for a very long time, and they do provide some very worthwhile advice for the coalition of governments, and I think it's an opportunity for Blaine to have someone on a committee that can provide the COG with recommendations that will apply strictly to Blaine. And I think that's important.
Mr. Mayor,
yes, ma'am.
I have a question on how it would be structured. So you're talking about one citizen.
Yes.
And then would that citizen because the small cities, or would they attend every meeting, or just meetings that dealt with certain things? Or
no, they would be, there's a standing committee already, and that person would be on that committee, and they would be providing advice to that, with that, on that committee. Mm-hmm. That committee then provides advice to the public. Okay.
You wouldn't necessarily be on that
committee. No. This would be someone who would be representing Blaine.
Representing Blaine to the broader Whatcom County, looking at a lot of transportation alternatives in the county. They make recommendations like the Smart Trip programs. They make recommendations for funding when there's regional funds that need to be distributed. So
it allows citizens to, to be involved in providing advice on all the cities have a representative, and there's an opportunity for Blaine to have a person on that committee.
So if anyone comes to mind, maybe you can drop me an email or something. A few names from my own experience have come to mind since I've been here, and if you're comfortable with me checking in with those folks, I'd
be
happy to do
that. I'd be very comfortable if you check in with them.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the committee assignments. The first one is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Clark, do you have anything to report on that?
Yeah, we had a meeting last week, and it was good. Jim Hebert attended. He is has really good feeling that we're right on the cusp of having a medical facility, and that's been kind of a dream of the Economic Development Committee from the beginning. And I resigned, and I was replaced, and I don't know if it's temporary or permanent, by our city manager, and which is fine.
Okay.
It's good, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. I've gotten a little confused here, but this is really just who's going to be on the committees. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee, we'll have a new individual for that. Is that correct?
Do we have somebody new?
Council has two other representatives on the committee. Councilmember Olison and Onion serve now on the committee. Councilman Cotner has been the chair of the committee. So you could just assign one of those individuals to be the representative to the council. We're going to talk tonight about replacing Mr. Cotner with another council member. You could restructure it at the time if you wanted to do it then. So tonight's really a reassignment of the kind of that reporting relationship to the council. And you have two members already on the committee. Okay. Or you could assign somebody else who is at the dais as well.
Okay. Are you happy with Dennis and Bonnie? Are you happy being on the economic development?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike, I just have a question, though. Yeah, I have a question about, wasn't this put in the structure that a council member would be chair?
You know, I don't recall that, and I'm happy to relinquish it.
There is, it says, one member of the committee shall be a member of the Blaine City Council and shall serve as the chair.
That's fine.
So I guess it isn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what we should do is leave it up to the committee itself to decide how they want to approach this. Clark leaving, and maybe you guys can get together and decide which of the two of you want to be the chair, or if you want to change that, we can go and revise the resolution. I mean, the ordinance.
I think we wait till we get the new replacement for Clark.
Yeah.
Then we can make them. Maybe that person.
Have one of the existing ones be a temporary chair, then we need a chair until that's done.
Well, and actually Dave could do it as an interim chair.
I'm happy to serve in whatever capacity you want.
So let's just do that.
Okay. And
until we get another council member.
And perhaps Dave, you'd be willing to report back to the
sure.
council
okay.
as to
mm-hmm.
Okay, well let's the next is the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee. Steve, you're willing to be on?
Yes, sir.
Boys and Girls Club?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about Bonnie, the Blaine Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I'll stay with the chamber.
And we've got the RED Loan Committee with Bonnie and Jeff. That's okay?
Yep.
And WTA Board, Paul, you're okay with that?
Yes.
Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie, okay? Library and Senior Center, Dennis?
I've learned to read and I'm getting older again.
You're an older reader. That's very good. Planning Commission, Michael, I assume that's okay with you?
It is.
Park and Cemetery Board?
Same there, sir.
Okay. Jeff, the Finance Committee? Okay. Small Cities Caucus, David and myself. Whatcom Council of Governments? That's myself and the North Whatcom Fire Update. Chief, how about you? You're willing to serve? Okay, the next item is audience participation. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to come forward and address the council at this particular time? I think, yes, we have you on the agenda, sir. Ron?
Thank you. Robinson.
If you would be kind enough to state your name and address for the record.
I will do that. My name is Ron Spanger. I live at 668 Parkview Place here in Blaine. And it's a privilege to be here this evening. Thank you for a few moments this evening to talk about the upcoming bond initiative. I'm going to let this five-minute overview run. I shared with Sherry that and Dave that we had a choice. I could either do the PowerPoint, which I always say is 10 minutes long and it takes 20, or we could do the 5-minute video overview, which I think is probably a very concise and conclusive representation of the upcoming bond initiative. I'll just preface that. This is my ninth year in the Blaine School District. When I came to Blaine, somebody told me, not from Blaine, that the average superintendent tenure is 3 years. So I guess things have been going reasonably well. It's been a privilege to serve the Blaine School District, the Blaine, Birch Bay, and Point Roberts communities. Also, when I came to Blaine in 2006, one of the first things the board said to me is, we have wonderful facilities with one exception, and that's Blaine High School. And Blaine High School is outdated, it's antiquated, it's worn down. It was not really built to last indefinitely. Construction in the 70s was what it was. It was economical construction, but not necessarily durable construction for long-term wear and tear, particularly the kind of wear and tear that students put on a facility. So with that, we went out in 2008 with a bond issue to replace Blaine High School. You may be familiar that while school district operations levies can pass at 50% now, bond issues take a supermajority, and that continues to be the case. We landed right about 56%, just under 56%, and then came back in 2011 with a reduced bond, but Blaine High School was primarily the focal point on that bond. That continued to be the case, and we got to like 59.4%. So we inched up much closer but didn't get over the threshold. So we came back a year later and said, okay, know that, I knew that would happen if I talked too long. There, it did come back. We know that the science facility is probably the most urgent need because we had one science lab for all of these lab science courses. And so we came back to the voters with $3 million to do that science lab plus some safety upgrades, and we did get over the 60% threshold. But part of that proposal involved not coming back for the Blaine High School piece until all of the bonds, including that $3 million bond, were set to sunset, if you will, which is in 2016. So now is the time, as we stage towards the retirement of all of those bonds and exhaust that bond debt, the issue is, as far as the school board is concerned, was to transition into what we've referred to as a replacement bond. And you'll hear reference to that here in a moment in the video. But all of the reference in the video is quite brief, so I just want to emphasize that this is a replacement bond, meaning we're looking at holding the tax rate steady, at least the school tax rate, and that rate right now is around $1.08 per thousand for the existing bonds, which compares very favorably in Whatcom County, and we put some information out about that. But the projected rate for the new bonds is at $1.04 per thousand. So we're confident that we can deliver on holding that tax rate steady, and that we believe is going to be a key piece in terms of moving forward with this urgent work. So the underlying key talking points have been urgency around taking care of things that have been in the queue, if you will, for quite some time, and also safety. We will hear reference to the number of entry points we have on the Blaine High School campus. We're very concerned about being able to keep staff and students secure, and you'll get a little bit of detail on that as well. And then the replacement piece. We made a commitment to wait. We've waited. We really believe now is the time to do this, not just for kids, but for the community. Blaine schools are really the focal point of so much that is right and significant in our overall community. We're very proud of our schools. We're very proud of our facilities, with one exception, and that is to get this high school piece taken care of. So I'm going to run this, and then I'd be happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you.
of the existing facility was built in 1971 and is no longer serving the educational needs of students in grades 9 through 12 in an efficient, safe, and purposeful manner. It is noted that 44 years ago, the high school was designed and constructed with a residential building approach. This included timber framing, wood siding, and three-tab roofing. These features have caused higher maintenance needs over the past four decades. The overall modular design at the high school creates a higher level of exposure to weather-related elements. Simply said, the high school is just plain worn out and has been in need of a combined level of new construction and major upgrades for an extensive period of time. As educational technology has advanced significantly over the past four decades, the Blaine administration has worked hard to keep pace with the digital upgrades on the high school campus. The related technological infrastructure has been layered into the overall facility over many years, with a wide variety of cables, electrical cords, and power strips added to keep up with rapidly changing and expanding needs. Currently, Blaine High School is at technological circuitry capacity. The requirement for state testing to be done online during the current school year and beyond only serves to compound the challenges that we face. Due to connectivity limitations, students have to move away from their classrooms during the testing period, often limiting access to key instructional areas, such as the library, for other students. The core facility and supporting infrastructure at Blaine High School was originally built to serve 350 students. With current enrollment at 640 students, many of the educational services and programs necessary by high school students take place at the middle school, including band, choir, and the high school lunch period. The constant movement of students from one campus to the other results in a number of issues and concerns specific to safety and supervision, as well as lost instructional time. The middle school cafeteria is undersized for the number of high school students that need to be served, meaning that students seek out other places to eat lunch on campus. As this occurs, student supervision once again becomes a significant challenge. With the new facility, the high school will have a dedicated cafeteria, as well as dedicated band and choir program space. In addition, shop, automotive, art, and technology education classes are all located on the opposite end of the campus in a building built in 1938, once again presenting issues specific to student access and overall quality of program opportunities for students. Student and staff safety and security is a highly significant concern on the Blaine High School campus. Blaine High School currently has 46 entrance points, points that cannot be locked during the school day. A new enclosed facility will allow for as few as three unlocked entry points, greatly enhancing our ability to keep the campus safe. Currently, we have a patchwork of intercom systems across the Blaine School District, making communication during an emergency much more difficult. This bond measure will provide for the installation of a more efficient campus-wide system. At Blaine Primary School, we anticipate receiving funding for staff to support all-day, everyday kindergarten, beginning with the 2016-17 school year. We will need additional classrooms to support this transition. At Blaine Elementary School, we have the need for additional indoor activity space and propose an expansion to the cafeteria, which will provide for this much-needed resource. While athletic field surface enhancements will have to wait for the Board of Directors to consider alternative funding options, the grandstands themselves have also exceeded their expected lifespan and need to be replaced. Because the grandstands will need to be enlarged, they have to be moved to the north side of the field so that the size of the practice field adjacent to Bobblehead Street can be maintained. The Blaine School District made a commitment to voters to wait to bring the larger bond initiative back as the existing bond debt is expiring, thereby assuring for stability in overall tax rates. We believe that now is the time to breach this opportunity to make a tremendous difference in the educational opportunities for our students.
I'd be happy to respond to any questions from the council.
What's the amount of the bond?
The amount of the bond is $45 million. It'll be paid off over a 20-year period, which is relatively standard for school districts in Washington State, the time frame. Approximately, Dennis, approximately $38.5 million of that is the high school project. And another $4 million is that additional classroom space for all-day, everyday kindergarten, which, as we alluded to, will be funded by the state, not next year. We anticipate the following year. So the high school accounts for close to 88%, and then another 10% or so, and then the other projects are relatively minor in scope.
Will that be collected over what year at a time, and how is that?
Collected in terms of the tax rate?
Yeah, will you get all 45 million?
No, that will be, it's staged as a three-stage rollout, if you will, $15 million in each increment. We will roll out those bonds as they're needed. We would start with a two-story addition at the high school because we need a place for the students to go while we remodel the remaining facilities. So that two-story, 80,000-square-foot addition and the classrooms at the primary to support all-day, everyday kindergarten would be the first phase. And then we'd come back and do the second two phases of the high school. Even at the funding structure that I just described, it's a four-year project. So we're all the way out to 2019-20 before all those variables are complete. And it should be noted, you didn't ask, but I'll jump in here, Dennis, with somebody called me the other day and said, is this project substantially different than what we proposed in 2008? And the answer is no, it's not substantially different, excepting that the cost has increased by roughly 30% over that six-year time frame. And part of that is attributed to 2008 was a pretty significant slide beginning into the recession, and projected construction costs were much lower at that time than they are now. A pretty substantial increase in projected cost over that time frame, but no substantive difference in the project itself. Any other questions?
Ron, does this address the classroom size issues that are going to come up at the state level?
To some degree, Harry does, in that we increase capacity at the high school so that we can get high school students out of the middle school. You saw reference to that. We certainly see some increased capacity with those eight classrooms that will be built at the primary school, four of which will house the kindergarten program, and the others would be available to help to begin to offset some of those class size reductions that came with Initiative 1351. But I think what we're going to hear over the next 3 or 4 months here at the state level and probably through multiple media outlets continuously is that that initiative is going to be very difficult to fund on face value, let alone capital needs. In other words, just funding the teachers that and staff members that initiative addresses will be a huge challenge for the legislature, yeah, let alone the capital, the increased capital facilities.
Down the road for a little bit anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we have said, you know, the questions come up early on in the campaign, particularly in early fall around are we or do we anticipate any plans? Are we planning or do we anticipate plans to build an additional elementary school? If enrollment increases, we will definitely need an additional school. The PowerPoint I spared you has a slide that shows enrollment's really been steady over the last 8 years. It really has not increased. So we're very much dependent on enrollment to go up before we could afford to operate an additional school.
Is there a reason for the enrollment to remain kind of
Well, the good news is it has remained steady. You know, it peaked at about 100 more kids than we have now in 2005. 9/11 and increased border security had a lot to do with that. You know, when we go back and look at the influx of families throughout the school year, because a lot of young families were moving into our community to support enhancement of security at the border. So it was a little bit of a false ceiling, if you will. I mean, it was representative of an event more so than a trend in growth in the Blaine School District. So at 2,200 kids, you know, if you looked at a long-term pattern in the Blaine School District, we're still on the high end but not growing. So the good news over the last 2 or 3 years is we haven't been losing kids.
Is there anything specific that the city could be doing on the security issue that isn't currently being done?
I don't believe so. I think the major piece in this is going to be in closing that facility. I mean, it's quite frankly a very, very high concern that access, we work very closely with the Blaine Police Department and have had issues over my tenure here that haven't been threatening per se, but concerning just in terms of the amount of public traffic that, cut across campus, cut through campus. We really need to get that building contained. The council and the district, or the city and the district, entered into a mutual agreement to increase officer presence on the campus, and that's been, Mike and I met today to talk a bit about that. That's been a very, very positive process, not just risk prevention, but really proactive intervention with staff and kids and families. You know, we want to really highlight the proactive aspects of that move, but. What we can do for these kids in this program is to get them, encapsulated, if you will, in a facility where they're not out and moving so frequently and in such large numbers. That's a significant safety concern for us.
Do you anticipate that will take 4 years to?
No, the first facility will be that two-story, 80,000 square foot facility. So that'll be a good start. That represents about half of the overall space, a little more than half of the overall space on the campus. Plus, we've already got the science facility done, which is 6 classrooms that will tie into that. So,
any questions from the council members?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Sherry, the next item is written communications. Do we have any written communications?
We have not received any written communications.
Okay. The next item is the consent agenda. We have approval of bills 2014 in the amount of $133,035.83 and the 2015 amount of $78,758.69. Approval of the payroll in the amount of $472,088.78. Approval of the December 22, 2014 council meeting minutes. Approval of the January the 5th, 2015 special council meeting minutes. And resolution 1656-15, approving an interlocal agreement and declaring participation in the Whatcom Council of Governments. I'll entertain a motion.
I so move.
Do I have a seconder?
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments regarding the
question?
Charlie.
In the voucher report, it says we spent 2 separate items to Whatcom County Auditor. One was for $5,540.12 and one for $29.49.05. Was that what it cost to run the change the name election? Is it $8,000?
There's one that we're billed for the prior election,
and then one that is account for the current, this past election that we had. So that's for the two of them. There was also an additional amount for the counting of the propositions 1 and 2 that had been presented for them to do
so which,
sufficiency
which,
on that.
Which cost was it? What did it cost us to run the one?
I would have to take a look at that, Charlie.
All right. Thank you.
Harry, question on
Dennis, yes.
Interlocal agreement. Is that group concerned with the new jail? Are they operating? Well, I guess my question is, if the jail is proposed and goes it, it's going to be built, what's Blaine's role in that? Or cost?
Well, first off, I may have misspoken about the Council of Government. I think the mayor serves on that committee and might be able to answer that more specifically. We have been notified by the county that they're going to start to talk with various cities about their couple of things, their financial commitment, which I think is something we need to talk about amongst ourselves. And I'm sure they're going to ask for some representation on a committee. I haven't seen that yet. They're starting to formulate that now to come forward with a very large financial measure to pay for the jail. So we haven't seen any of that coming forward yet, but I expect that all government entities in some fashion will be brought to the table to have a conversation with the county.
The council, county council is really the ones that are the driving force in this, along with the city of Ferndale. So the county is the one that are going to be directing this initiative. I'll speak a little later to it regarding the small cities.
Okay.
I have just another quick question. So this agreement was amended from what it was before. Do you know what? What the amendment was or amendments were? Anything substantial?
No.
The last time it was amended was quite a few years ago. I'm trying to remember if it was sometime in the 70s.
I don't remember anything significant.
You don't think there's anything significant?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is the council action items. The first one is the appointment to the Park and Cemetery Board. Michael, are you going to direct us on that, or do you want us? Cherry?
I can do that.
Okay.
So for the Park and Cemetery Board, we have one vacancy that expires in 2017, and then we have two full four-year terms that will expire 4 years from now. We had three applicants. We had Sean Ventura, and then Janet Picard reapplied, and so did Garth Baldwin.
Does anyone care to make a motion to appoint one of these individuals to the Park and Cemetery Board?
I'd like to move to appoint Garth Baldwin for the full term.
Okay, is there a seconder to that?
Second.
Okay, any questions or comments regarding that?
Okay. Clarification.
Okay.
Are two openings?
Three.
My understanding, Dennis, is there's two openings
for
4 years each.
Right.
And there's one opening for a part-time that's going to expire in 2017.
Okay.
Okay. And so Garth is being recommended for one of the 4-year appointments. Okay, are there any other questions or comments?
And Garth is currently on the
board?
Yes.
He's currently on the board. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Garth has been appointed to the Parks and Cemetery Board for a 4-year period. Okay, anyone else might wish to make a motion to appoint one of these individuals to the park?
I move we appoint Janet.
Second?
For a 4-year term.
Okay, so Janet has been, we're going to consider Janet for a 4-year term. This motion was made and was it seconded?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments regarding this appointment? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Janet has been appointed to the Parks and Cemetery Board for a 4-year period. Anyone else care to appoint an individual for the temporary?
I move we appoint Sean Ventura to complete the uncompleted term.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any questions? When exactly does this expire, Sherry?
It expires December 31st of 2017.
All righty. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say Sean is appointed to the temporary appointment for the Parks and Cemetery Board expiring in December 2017. Okay, the next item on the is appointments to the Planning Commission. Michael, I understand we have 3 or 4 appointments.
Are 3 vacancies that occurred for 3 seated members. They have applied for reinstatement. And Sherry, is that correct? There's one additional?
There was one additional, but he was not present tonight for his interview.
Okay, so there's 3 individuals and there's 3 openings. Is that correct?
Yes.
And okay. Those are full 4-year terms.
All for 4 4-year terms. Does anyone care to make a motion to appoint one of the individuals to the Planning Commission?
I move we appoint John Renault for one of the 4-year terms.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor to appoint Mr. Renault to the Planning Commission for a 4-year term? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is carried 7-0. Mr. Renault has been appointed to the Planning Commission for a 4-year period of 4-year term. Any other appointments that you want to make?
I move we accept John LeBron.
Okay. LeBron has been, motion has been made to accept Mr. LeBron. Do we have a seconder? Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Does anyone care to make any other appointments?
I'll nominate Calvin Armandine.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Armour, I'm sorry, I'll have to struggle with the name.
Armandine
has been appointed to the Planning Commission for a four-year term. Thank you for all the people who have applied and been appointed to the various commissions. We appreciate it very much. Okay, appointments to the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee.
The Chamber of Commerce has elected Debbie Farmer with the library, and then Louise Mugar with the Northern Light to serve representing the chamber on the BTAC committee. And so we're bringing it forward to council to approve that appointment.
Those have to be done separately.
Yes.
Well, let's do them separately. Okay, we have a recommendation to appoint Debbie Farmer to the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee for your term.
I don't have that in front of me. I'm not sure how many.
Okay. So move.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? If not, call for the vote to appoint Debbie Farmer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Debbie Farmer is now appointed to the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee. Next one is Louise Mugar.
Mugar.
Anyone care to make a motion?
So move.
Second, whichever.
I move we appoint Louise Mugar.
Second.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll call for the vote. All in favor to appoint Louise Mugar to the Tourism Committee?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Any?
Just one more quick comment. We have one more opening, which is for a citizen at large for the committee.
That is correct. And in the advertisement, it advises that the city will continue to accept applications until the vacancies are filled. But we're looking at two vacancies still, Civil Service Commission, and then the at-large for the Blaine Tourism. So I will probably run another ad this month.
Okay. Just to clarify, Louise has been appointed to the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee. Okay, the next one is appointments to the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee.
Council members, we have more people interested in serving in that committee. We came to the council back in September 22nd with a list of names of the folks that were pretty active at the time. Since then, we've had more members come forward, volunteer. Some of those were left off the original list. So this partly is housekeeping to make sure the list is complete, and also to add some new members to the group. So Alan Williams is a retired physician. He's indicated an interest. Of course, Dodd Snodgrass from the board has been supportive. He's not always at the meetings, but he's part of our regular meeting schedule. Louise, we just nominated and approved for the BTAC, has shown an interest and also represents the chamber. And Bob Boulay has been an intermittent member, but would still like to participate. And then a fellow by the name of Dennis Sandowski is a retired consultant. And prior was very involved with chambers down in Arizona, so he brings a lot of experience. So this list of names are those we'd like to request the council appoint to the committee. These are four-year terms. The committee has up to 15 members relative to what the ordinance speaks to. This brings it to 13 members.
Can we make a motion to approve the five individuals at once?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
So second.
Okay. We have a motion to appoint Alan Williams, Dodd Snodgrass, Louise Mugar, Bob Boulay, and Dennis Zimbowski to serve four-year terms on the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. Any questions or comments?
Could I just have Dave mention the other members by name, just so we all know who's on that committee? There's Doug Dahl. Come on.
You put me on the spot.
Is this a test? No,
okay.
Come on, between the three of us, we should be able to
Michael Jones works with me, and so I'm just trying to think. There's so many now, I don't remember.
There's Doug Dahl, Mike Hill.
Mike Kent.
Doug Dahl.
Doug Dahl. you two,
the two
you were.
Us. Yeah. Maybe that's it.
Mike can't.
Well, yeah, mentioned
Mike. Said that. Yeah.
How about I sit down for a minute?
I think that covers it.
Ron Freeman?
I've got it on my
phone.
Ron Freeman.
Freeman. Yeah.
Ron Freeman.
I've got the list on my computer. I just didn't bring
it
up. That's it. Was that a test?
That's why you. That's why 15 is a lot of people. You can't even.
I'm on it. I serve on it.
So the older you get, the less members on the committee because you can't remember them all.
I didn't put you on the spot.
Sherry, has the motion been made and seconded?
The motion was made by Paul, and it sounded like it was seconded by Charlie.
Yeah.
Are there any questions or comments? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the motion carries 7-0. Next item is the Blaine School District Bonds.
So I'll start this. As you heard earlier tonight, the school board has moved forward to develop some improvements to the school district buildings, $45 million worth. Ron and I had talked about this. He asked if the council will be willing to support the bond. My recommendation is to support the bond for somewhat different reasons than the school district. I think the reasons are wonderful reasons, and I fully support those. But schools also are a very large indicator in economic development. Businesses relocate to communities that have fine schools, and I think this represents the community's interest in providing a solid educational basis, which is where our workers come from. They go through our school programs, they come out of schools with technical training and skill sets, ready to go to work or prepared to go to the next level, which may be a technical college, community college, or university. So for me, schools are a critical part of the community's backbone, both socially, educationally, as well as economic development. So I support the school bond and have asked the council then to support the resolution, which you'll see was on the back side of your document. So it's a very short resolution supporting it. And you can read through it yourself, or I could read it, or just move forward with however you prefer.
Okay, the recommendation is to approve Resolution 1657-15 supporting the Blaine School District 503, Proposition 215, One School Improvements General Obligation Bond.
So move.
Second.
Okay, any other further questions or comments?
Harry?
Yes.
Is it possible that we could put, I think in our utility billing, whether we could put a little piece of paper encouraging people to vote or to register to vote for this?
My answer probably would be no. And that's because the school is a public process. It's a public vote. And entities like the city can't spend funds to endorse or support or send out mailings. We looked at that just as a curiosity. I think you'd be running right up against the Public Disclosure Commission on it. You can do it personally, and people could individually support schools, but as a city, I think that'd be pushing over the edge.
Yeah,
I strongly support this. I think it's
absolutely.
I think we should be getting behind the school as much as possible, and I'm glad to see that this has come up for a vote. So I'm all in favor of it. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries 7-0. The next item is appointment process for the council vacancy.
We just have a brief PowerPoint to kind of take you through the steps. Some of you have been through this already. Can be redundant, others haven't.
Speed.
There's the chalkboard again.
Always somebody in the crowd.
I'll just call in. You don't need to point somebody to me.
PowerPoint 2010.
Is it at 5 for full screen?
Little icon on the bottom right.
There?
Yeah.
I got the up and down arrow going. I'm not going to touch anything else. Oh, look at that. So these aren't quite as pretty as Raven's. You know, she has all kinds of animations on hers. So this is for the Ward 3 position, position 5. And if I can just send the word. The map that we're highlighting the yellow, that's the ward itself. It goes from 6th Street to 8th Street to the border, and all the way across the water into the Simiyama spit, and then the neighborhood through the rest of that yellow area. So the way the law works, when a position is vacant, the remaining members of the governing body can appoint a qualified person. You can appoint someone you have in mind right now. You have somebody in mind, someone could, you know, we could do something like that now. If you want it to an action item, council could act on it. Or you can direct the vacancy to be advertised. So to be advertised, then we need to find qualified applicants, a citizen of the state of Washington as well as the United States, of course. They have to be a registered voter at the time of the filling, and they have to be a resident of the city at least 1 year prior to proceeding his or her election. Only a resident of the ward may be a candidate for to hold the office as a council member of the ward. So they have to reside in the yellow. You guys know this. There's a problem if you can't fill the vacancy. That you have 90 days to do that. If the 90 days passes, you lose your authority. It goes to the council or the county council, and they just do the job for you. And they have to follow the same rules as you would have to follow in terms of the citizenship and location. So right now, if the council were not to be able to do it, that date would be April 10th. We're very confident we can get it done before then. Let me just notify you that situation. The person then is appointed, and they fill the remainder of the term. So the next couple of conversations really aren't going to matter too much, because you're Mr. Kottner's position ends in the end of this fiscal year, calendar year. If we were to go into the next couple of years, there's a whole other set of rules that kind of apply for people who want to run longer, because you're filling a longer term. But it's the next general election that does that. And then once the election's done, then you're certified. So we're not going to be worried about that. The person's going to run for the office, just as if Mr. Kottner would be willing to do that. So this is the situation where if it had gone beyond more than 1 year. So, the next steps, the council appoints someone in mind. You could do that now if you don't have that in mind. What we suggest is posting the vacancy this week. We've already started the process, kind of looking forward to the green light from you. We get applications through the 20th of February, which gives us quite a bit of time. You'll probably do some kind of a press release. We'd vet the applicants to make sure they qualify that week that they're received. We'd schedule a special meeting with the council March 2nd for interviewing. We'd work with you on questions and some of the things that you need to perform the interviews. And then we would ask the council to make an appointment March 9th at the regular council meeting. So we're going to modify the schedule or follow it as you desire. And that's the end.
Is there anyone have anybody in mind for this? Okay. So I think we should follow the process just as you've outlined. Gives us an opportunity to advertise for the position and see if anybody is interested. I've heard one name, but I have not had an opportunity to talk to that individual. It was sort of secondhand, and I'll follow up on it. Have that person apply directly to the city for the job. Anybody?
Go back to the company.
You know, this isn't the same as a job application. And so my recommendation, and I think you would do this anyway, is if someone wants to call and talk to you about the job, what the roles and duties and responsibilities, what the major issues that you're facing, things that you're concerned about, things that you want to relate to somebody, that I think that would be appropriate. You're very public people. So if someone calls me and says, well, can I talk to the mayor? My answer would be yes, or to Mr. Hotkins, anybody, unless you tell me otherwise. And so I think the more transparent it is, the better it is.
So are we going to put an ad in the local paper?
Right, we'll start an advertisement campaign. We'll do a public notice. We'll probably do a press release talking about the position. We'll talk a little bit about Mr. Cotner's role in economic development, try to spur that interest, because I think the council has shown that interest. He certainly has talked to me about it. So the council then, whether you include that in your interview questions, is kind of you'll have to kind of sort that out. We can talk about that when we look at the applications. And we'll have another chance to talk about that again if you'd like.
That doesn't mean that person would automatically get that.
Nope. No, it's not about the chairmanship. It's really just about fulfilling the vacant position.
You need to get someone else on that.
And you may have other priorities.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see if we can get a number of applicants. Okay.
And we don't need, I don't think we need to vote on this. I think
okay,
we just, at your direction, we'll go
okay.
Ahead with it.
Okay, I think we'll direct staff to proceed. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the commission committee and board reports. Clark, you've already indicated that.
Yes, I did, but I forgot to add one thing. I asked Hubert if they'd name a wing of the hospital after me, and he said if I made a substantial endowment.
I heard that, too.
Yeah. You did? Okay. Well,
we'll be looking forward to receiving the money.
Yeah. No, I really think we're on the cusp of having a medical center here, and I think it is a tremendous asset for the community. It's a tremendous asset for Canadian or medical tourism, primary focus and support, will generate a lot of money for the city, but it will also eliminate a 50-60 mile round trip for somebody to take their kid to the doctor. And I think it's a wonderful thing, and I hope it goes forward. And thank you. That's all I have to say.
Again,
I've had a ball.
Thank you for your contribution. I think it's been terrific. Next item is the Blaine Tourism and Advisory Committee. Steve.
We have a meeting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. here. No reports of Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Steve, have you heard they appointed somebody to the director at the Senate? I kind of got a gossip that there was something happening that way.
Okay, the Blaine Chamber of Commerce.
No report, and on the red loan, we did approve a loan, one loan in the past month. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. WTA board, Paul.
First meeting will be on this Thursday, other than that, there's no report.
Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No report.
Library Committee, Dennis.
They meet next week.
Senior Center Liaison.
Breakfast this Saturday.
Okay. Pancakes or otherwise?
We got Dennis Waffles Cymbalski cooking.
No? Mm. Well, that's a must. Planning Commission, Mr. Jones.
Real quickly, sir, we have a pretty busy schedule coming up, and those will all be advertised meetings. One thing I wanted to mention was that due to the calendar, which is something that happens pretty often, I'm starting to realize, the Planning Commission met before you all did this year. Therefore, we didn't have quorum because three of the positions had expired. So I'm going to come forward in the next couple of months with a code amendment of some kind that will have those positions changed to their expiration being following the first council meeting of the new year. was problematic for us. We were only able to have a work session rather than a regular meeting due to a lack of quorum, and it wasn't something that came to my attention until the very last minute. So we'll avoid that in the future by changing the law, if you will approve that. And then as far as the Park and Cemetery Board, I just wanted to mention that their regularly scheduled meeting has been rescheduled, and it will be on the 22nd of this month rather than this Thursday at 9:30 a.m. So these folks who just got reappointed, that's their next meeting is, or our new appointment as well, will be the 22nd.
Terrific. Finance Committee, no report. Small Cities Caucus, I had a report that at the last Small Cities Caucus meeting, we had a presentation put on by Bill Elfo and Jack Laws on the new jail and the fact that they're going to go for a bond. I gave the full report to city manager, and I think probably at some point we should go over that in detail and perhaps ask Mr. Elfo to put on a presentation for us. They're going to ask for a lot of support from the various cities. So I think they're probably going to want something like a resolution from us supporting them, as we did for the school. So it's going to be a big issue, and I think it's important that we become aware of all. There was an article in the paper I read, which pretty well covered everything that was covered at our meeting. But, I think the most important thing that came out of it is they're looking for our support and what we can do to help them accomplish their objective of raising the money through a bond issue. So perhaps we can get a copy of that report or ask Mr. Elfo or Mr. Laws to come and address the council. Okay?
Good.
The next item is the Whatcom Council of Governments, no report, and the North Whatcom Fire Update. Chief Hollander.
Good evening, Council. I shared with you our monthly newsletter, and I hope to come in 2 weeks with our statistics from last year as far as call data, how many responses we've had to Semiahmoo.
This is my last chance to ask you, how are we doing in Semiahmoo?
We're doing great.
Anything burned down lately?
Nothing burned down.
No boats, no houses, nothing?
No, and I can tell you that as of today, the fire sprinkler system on the dock is up and functioning.
That is good.
So we now have 17 standpipes all throughout the dock, which is actually a huge, I consider that a huge success. So, other than that, we're starting off the year right on schedule, about 10 calls for service a day, so I think we're well over 100 calls already. And what are we, 10 or 11 days into the year? So for us, everything is going well. Any questions? I'll have those statistics for you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Okay, the next is department reports. First report is from the Public Works. Raven.
Well, I wanted to report on our annual meeting with Birch Bay Water and Sewer District. We had Council Members Hawkins and Allison there, and it was a good meeting. We talked about our conservation efforts for the year. Both the district and the city passed new water use efficiency goals. We both did the required consumer confidence reports. We talked a little bit about our capital projects, and we also talked about this North County supply concept and concept paper that was drafted. And our position has been very focused on we will only do what we can with what we are already budgeted. We're not interested in something that creates new debt for the city, or we want to make sure that anything that we participate in is something that's actually taking care of things in the city, like maybe building some of our future infrastructure, for example. So instead of going back and forth, or is there enough supply or isn't there, we decided to move ahead with the monitoring wells, which have been part of our Public Works budget since I've been here, which we have not proceeded with just because of other workload demands and such. So I'm working with one of the property owners on H Street Hill, and we're hoping to dig a monitoring well, hopefully sometime yet this winter. So I'll continue to keep you posted as to how that's working. We've been working very closely with Whatcom County Public Works on their bridge rehab that they're going to be doing on the Peace Portal Bridge at Dakota Creek. And this Friday, we're going to be running a pilot test, essentially shutting off our valves and backfeeding those customers south of the bridge through Birch Bay's supply line. And if that works, it could save us hundreds of thousands of dollars on this bridge project by essentially having them serve themselves through an alternative location where we have our tie-ins, as well as backfeeding the Bell Bay Water Association. So, yes, Mr. Olson.
Is the electrical on that same bridge?
No, the electrical is overhead. Gas is under the bridge, but not electrical.
So when are they starting on this bridge?
Their fish window opens up in May. So they'll be starting some work probably a little bit ahead of that. They're planning a full road closure. There you go. They are planning on bidding it, however, next month. So we're trying to work out some of the coordination details so that things that their bridge contractor needs to know about what our water main project's going to be doing, because there's going to be a little bit of overlap with the two projects. So
we're anticipating a full road closure?
During the county council has voted on allowing a full road closure for the period of the construction, yes.
Have they set a time that you think it's going to take?
From May through November, I believe. Yeah. We're talking major rehab. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been interesting to say the least. What else? Our public works building, we met with the designer, and we've totally reformatted the plans, and we're looking at rebidding that project probably in the next month. We'll be bidding the sewer camera that we have funded through the Cane Creek grant. That'll be going out this month. And our department is participating in the Whatcom County Water Utility Coordinating Committee. This is essentially the county's effort to update their coordinated water system plan, which hasn't been updated since 2000. And so Bill Bullock from Public Works will be representing Blaine on that committee. And
Raven, you mentioned the creek, King Creek. What exactly is happening there? I know we have a project underway.
What we're doing is grabbing water samples right now on a monthly basis. They're monitoring the quality of the water during different rain events and so forth. They're working with Department of Ecology on creating an action plan to help improve Dakota Creek. So part of that requirement is a certain number of samples during the wet season and a certain amount of samples during the dry season. Public Works is participating by running their samples in our lab at the wastewater plant, so that is our in-kind contribution to the grant. And then if they find something when they're out and about that looks like, you know, somebody's sewer is leaking or, you know, something that is just very, very evident of what the problem is, there's an opportunity for us with our crew to come in and fix something, and then that would also be considered in-kind work. And then the sewer camera was the big... there was some minor lab equipment that we acquired to facilitate some of this work in the lab, but the sewer camera was a big purchase that was part of the grant, and that's going to enable us to actually scan some of these storm systems using a robotic camera. They're absolutely incredible. I mean, in terms of, you know, the camera can tilt and pan, and go backwards and forwards. It's all electronically controlled. And so long-term, we're going to be using this in our sewer system to identify sources of infiltration into the sewer system. But for the purpose of the grant, we're going to be using it for the storm system. So that's something that we've been working on getting out to bid for some time.
What's the end game for King Creek? What are our long-term hopes for it?
Well, our end game for the creek is, at least in this phase of this, is to come up with an action plan. And there will also be some public education regarding things that the public as community can do to help the creek. But the long-term action plan won't be developed until the end of this study. But that is part of the grant, is to develop that action plan. Then we have something that we could take to a grant agency and say, please fund this. So we actually show it in our CIP for the Stormwater Fund to have a phase two. And that phase two will be the implementation of some of those recommendations in that action plan.
Harry, was your question, will that creek be able to maintain fish, for example?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a very big question, and it'll be interesting to see what they're seeing as they're going through all these different water quality tests. Got to remember that King Creek goes right through downtown. It's in a mishmash of pipes and open streams, and it's dealing with all kinds of stuff. So, to mention running right by a public works yard, of all things. So, it is something that's near and dear to my heart, just as having worked in the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Protection District Advisory Committees in the 90s, as a volunteer, King Creek has always been identified as a source of one of the sources of impact to Drayton Harbor.
The biggest thing that this is going to be, because it's always had shown stuff coming out of it. It's going to be able to find out where it's coming from now. And that'll help clear it up. But I think it was dry in the summertime. So
it's definitely, this is not a snap your fingers, we're going to be
but
done.
It was,
this may be a long-term plan.
From what I understand, it was a fish preparing creek at one time.
And I don't have any of the background on that, sir.
I don't remember it.
Seeing some of the age of some of those culverts and some of the construction methods, I think it's probably been a while. But
so,
it's a
natural place for stormwater to go. So up until now, we really haven't had an opportunity to measure the quality of the water in there.
Not to this extent. We've had volunteers do this work, and it was part of that volunteer effort that brought this grant application to fruit, and now we're proceeding. So this is really the most coordinated by the city study that has taken place.
And you're getting support from the county?
We have support from the county. They're actually chipped in a little bit toward the match, as has the state. So it's a multi-jurisdictional effort. You know, one of the things that we've talked about is putting a link to some of the information on our website. Maybe after they get through the first phase of the monitoring, I'll have them come and do a study session for you. Because it is really interesting stuff. Couple more quick things. Just wanted to let you know that we did have an accident on U Avenue. We had a postal vehicle drive off the shoulder. She just caught her wheel on the soft gravel. Fortunately, she went to the hospital, but as far as I'm aware, no major injury, and she was not wearing a seatbelt. So incredible that she ended as well as she did. We're going to continue to look for funding for putting a guardrail up that location. Our project kind of made it more visible. We didn't necessarily make it more steep or anything like that, but when we did do the paving, we trimmed some of the blackberries and brush and stuff, so it's clear visibility all the way to the bottom. That guardrail is going to be expensive. It's the you know, the deepest type of post that you need and all of that good stuff. So,
but what kind of liability do we face with that pole by not having it?
Well, she left the roadway. From what I understand, there was not any fingers pointing at the city as to be blamed. We're just very thankful that she's all right.
We need to really get that as soon as we can.
Thank you. Yeah, we agree with that 100%. And then finally, we did have on our website for a short period of time the AWC video called The Ugly Truth. It's still on the AWC website if you want to take a peek at it, but it's essentially just trying to raise public awareness about what's going on in Olympia with how they're balancing general fund budget with things like the Public Works Trust Fund, and they're taking funds that are supposedly set aside for toxic cleanup and using them for other state purposes. And the video goes into great detail. I'm not advocating for anything other than just public education about the subject of transportation funding and how important it is. So that video is still on their website. We pulled it down because of the fact that the legislature is back in session, and we're going to stay positive that they're actually going to do something right by transportation funding this time around. Any other questions? Yes, Mr. Monson.
A slight update on the pump and the water pump and the well was replaced. We allocated it, and are they all the well motors now protected by a circuit breaker, or whatever you call them?
Yeah. Yeah, that work took place. I don't think it actually got finished until maybe even the end of last week. And we're still trudging away in the watershed.
Not going to happen again.
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay, community development.
I quickly wanted to follow up on the study session that we had this evening, and not an open question and answer session because I have a feeling that could go on for a long time, but I just wanted to let you know that if there are some questions related to what I went over tonight that are lingering with you, I'd be more than happy to sit down and talk with you independently, or you can send me an email, give me a call, whatever works. And in particular, if there are things that you would like to know more about that were raised tonight or came up tonight, so I can report to the council generally at the next study session, because we will put together another one. Primarily, it's going to be related to building design and how this code that we're proposing would replace our current downtown design standards. But I would like to know what questions you have so we can be prepared at the next meeting to make sure we answer those.
Finance, public safety, chief.
No reports.
Okay, administrative services.
We have a special council meeting coming up on the 20th. This is to approve the final of 2014 invoices, and we normally have that in the morning if there's any possibility of putting a quorum together for that. And a time? It would be.
I'll be out of town.
Permanently.
You will?
Are you talking about the 20th?
Yeah, the reason is that's the date that the state provides as basically the 13th month.
As long as that's on Tuesday.
What time?
You want to try 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock?
How about 9 o'clock?
So you're Steve? Aiming for the, I can make it. So we're aiming for the 20th?
20th at 9 o'clock, we have Paul, Steve, Mayor, and Charlie.
Give me a call on my cell if somebody's missing. And I can pop upstairs.
This is going to last about 5 minutes?
About 5 minutes.
Okay.
You buy breakfast?
I'll bring donuts.
I'll bring donuts, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. City Manager.
Well, just welcome to 2015. We started off with a pretty long meeting today. Appreciate everyone's attention. We have a full workload of things to come forward to you over the next 12 months. Look forward to that. As always, we're ready and available for any questions or comments or things you need information about, so please feel free to give us a call anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Any unfinished business? Council, new business.
So under new business, we have an interest in having some type of potentially a recognition for Bruce Wolf. And there's been a kind of this conversation about, does the city want to name something or recognize him? So we have an ordinance in place, actually part of our city code, but it's 2.46, naming parks, facilities. Item E says, an individual who has contributed outstanding civic service to the city, that may be something that Mr. Wolf would qualify for. The rules also say that the council shall designate names for the parks, give authority to do that. But that comes from a recommendation from the Parks and Cemetery Board, so first goes to them. But probably most importantly is that there's a waiting period of about 6 months. So an event happens, there's a desire to do something. So the Parks and Cemetery Board shall wait at least 6 months between receipt of a name. So we haven't really gotten a formal receipt, but I think there's been enough conversation with me about that. And the submittal of the final recommendation on its adoption in cases where the event or public service to be commemorated took place within the past year. So I think probably the Bruce certainly would qualify for many of those things, and so it's just really a period of time. Yes, sir.
The plazas, are they under the parks or whatever? Bruce was involved with the Jazz over the G Street Plaza. Mm-hmm. He was from the beginning.
Yeah.
The Park and Cemetery Board has jurisdiction over parks and public places, so I think that that clause would bring those in.
Is where the statues are down at the end of the street, is that a park?
Well, that's what we were just talking about. It's a plaza.
Yeah.
Public facility.
And they're designated as parklets in our park and in our comprehensive plan.
So David, are we going to submit Bruce's name to the parks?
Well, I think.
Do you want a motion from us to do that?
Not necessarily. Let me talk a little bit more. Okay. So I have not talked to Ron Spanger, for example. I know that Bruce was really involved with music at the school. I haven't talked with his wife about what her thoughts are. So my suggestion would be, before we make a motion to do something, that we spend a little bit of time figuring out what other courses and alternatives of which would be the most appropriate for that. So I'd like to take a little bit of time, and I think we're probably still able to do it within the time frame of the way the ordinance reads, if that's something the city council wants to do. And you yourselves may want to talk to me and help me guide me in the direction you might want to go. It's not an action item tonight.
Okay. Well, my own point of view is I think we should pursue this. With the Parks Cemetery.
Should board. Do something.
We should do something, correct. Yeah. Does everyone agree with that Bruce qualifies for that kind of recognition? So I think we have a consensus from the council that we should be doing something to recognize Bruce.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is we're going into executive session. We're going into executive session at 7:53, and that we're going to discuss the acquisition of real estate pursuant to RCW 42:30:1110(1), in brackets, B in brackets, and collective bargaining pursuant to RCW 42:30:140(4), in brackets, A in brackets.
For how many minutes?
And is any action anticipated?
I know. Thank you.
No action is anticipated. You're welcome to sit in the audience and wait our return, but probably might be more advantageous for you all to enjoy the rest of the evening somewhere else.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, you may.